it hit here. It went through, somehow it went through my skull without touching anything of any importance, then clipped the back of my skull, and then just travelled down the side of my throat, and is now lodged right here under my collarbone. Still there, yeah.
Have the mark of genius and have netted him millions.
Haki Bahadir Atahan, also known as Tim, was a Turkish immigrant who arrived in Australia in the year 1970. He started out life in Sydney in the western suburbs, opening a takeaway food shop on Parramatta Road in Auburn. He was married at the time, but longed for the high life. This led to him becoming a heavy gambler. His family and friends knew of his addiction, yet there was nothing they could do to stop him. His dreams of going from rags to riches consumed his every thought. He would spend hours gambling in the hopes of winning big. Yet, his winnings never came. Instead, it cost him his business and his marriage. Remaining a gambler, Atahan turned to cab driving to make ends meet and give him enough money to bet and hopefully turn around into a big win. However, cab driving and gambling do not pay much, and Atahan found himself in the same position he always found himself, longing for a life of luxury. With little else to consider, he turned to something he knew would get him rich quick. Bank robbery. And he was good. Beginning his life of crime in March 1983, Atahan is thought to have committed 17 bank heists by January 1984. In only 9 months, he became one of Australia's most prolific armed robbers, amassing more than $175,000 and evading police. It was even said he had sometimes robbed up to 3 banks a day. Atahan's exploits gave him the life he desired. He began renting a luxurious penthouse with harbour views in Manly, owned several flashy cars, and splurged on overseas holidays and jewellery. When Atahan went out to target 3 banks on January 31st, 1984, he only expected to add to his riches. It was working out well so far. He had already robbed 2 banks on Macquarie Place that morning, netting himself around $17,000. Nonetheless, he decided to keep his streak going, storming the Commonwealth Bank on George Street. Atahan entered, brandishing his pistol and yelling,
"Give me all the 50s!
Soon, his briefcase was stuffed with $40,000. Unfortunately for him, police were on high alert from his earlier robberies and were hot on Atahan's tail. Around 3:30 on the Tuesday afternoon, they received a call reporting the armed robbery on George Street by branch manager Graham Stewart. Almost immediately, police had the building surrounded. Sydney had shut down, and Atahan had hostages. Police began negotiations, calling several times, but Atahan proved difficult. The robber let off 2 rounds of his pistol, attempting to assert his dominance and remain in charge. He was loving it. It was later reported that during the negotiations, he turned to Mr. Stewart and gleefully joked,
"This is just like the movies, isn't it?"
He was referring to the 1975 Al Pacino crime film, Dog Day Afternoon.
"You're going to be remembered the rest of your lives for the day you got held up and kidnapped."
At approximately 3 p.m. on August 22nd, 1972, Sonny Wurzik entered the First Brooklyn Savings Bank and attempted a robbery. The attempt failed.
In the film, Al Pacino leads a bank heist gone wrong and holds a number of people hostage. He almost gets away, but is arrested at the last moment. But Atahan's excited sentiment was just the beginning of the parallels between that art and this life. Atahan then surprised police by letting everyone in the bank go, except for 5 staff members. This was just the beginning of his antics, as he aimed to make his getaway as dramatic as possible. By this point, he had been in negotiations for over 2 hours. In a stunning move, he walked straight out the front door with his five hostages and surrounded himself with them.
It's a sight that I'll probably never forget, you know, incredible sight where he's walked out, surrounded himself by the bank staff and holding the gun against the bank manager's head.
The gunman used his hostages as human shields. The heavily armed police swarmed in but held their fire.
That was former Detective Senior Constable Stephen Packer, who was there at the time. The police nor any marksman could get a shot on Atahan without injuring a hostage. Another hostage was young lone assistant Jeff Finlay. This is his witness account.
There are a number of occasions where I thought, okay, do I grab him? Do I tackle him? Do I run away here? But that's the safety of the other people that came into consideration again. So no, you do the job, because if you run away, somebody else might be dead as a result.
Atahan herded the five hostages with his pistol held against Mr. Stewart's head until he found a Datsun sedan with its keys left in the ignition. He forced all the hostages into a car and started driving.
From the bank, the gunman led a cavalcade of 20 police and ambulance vehicles out of the city. After passing through the eastern suburbs, the chase crossed the Harbour Bridge to the Manly area.
He was leading dozens of vehicles on a wild chase through the Sydney streets. Wild doesn't even begin to describe it. Broadcast live on radio and television, it was becoming a circus.
We had people running beside the vehicles, coming out of shops, out of unit blocks, waving and cheering. That was a sight to behold, really.
Some people from memory were running up close to the side of the car and waving and saying, oh, you're an idiot, and all this sort of thing. It's just crazy. You know, it got to the situation where there was so much of it happening that I started to wave and smile back at them.
After a couple of hours on the run, Atahan stopped at Queenscliff, where he picked up his then-girlfriend, Sharon Oliver. There, he released a hostage to make room for her. Eventually, after more than 4 hours of negotiations and chases, Atahan was cornered at the Spit Bridge, which links the northern suburbs of Mosman and Seaforth. The police had raised the bridge and set up a police blockade.
You're okay, no one's trying to hurt you and no one's hurt.
He was waving the gun out the window, swearing and hurling abuse at everybody. He's quite off the planet at that particular time.
That was Detective Senior Constable Packer recalling the moment police had Atahan surrounded. In a desperate attempt to escape, Atahan crashed the sedan into the blockade, still with hostages inside, bringing the chase to a sudden halt. Detective Senior Constable Steve Canales approached the car with a shotgun and ordered Atahan to surrender. Instead, the robber fired. Detective Senior Constable Packer and another policeman, Detective Sergeant John Nagel, responded by shooting Atahan immediately. He was hit in the head and the chest and was killed instantly. The hostages and Miss Oliver were taken from the vehicle, where Mr. Stewart realised he had been wounded in the leg, and some of the hostages had been sprayed with glass from the gunshots. Detective Senior Constable Canales was extremely lucky. He survived.
It hit here. It went through, somehow went through my skull without touching anything of any importance, then clipped the back of my skull, and then just travelled down the side of my throat, and is now lodged right here under my collarbone. Still there, yeah.
He returned to work 4 months later and continued to serve the force for many more years. A coroner's report found Atahan's death was the result of a justifiable homicide and no misconduct was found on behalf of the constables. Police later found that despite his lavish lifestyle, Atahan only had $467 in his bank account at the time of the heist. His girlfriend, Miss Oliver, told police that during the car chase, he explained his reasoning for the robberies. Haki Tim Bahadir Atahan claimed he was committing the crimes for his estranged young daughter. police didn't believe it for a second. He was still a heavy gambler at the time of his death, and police believed the heists were an attempt to pay back his debts. Atahan got to enjoy his high life, but it cost him much more than he thought it would. Thanks for listening to this episode of Bank On It, Tales of Australia's Biggest Heists. You can hear more on the next website.